Well, good afternoon to all of you. Certainly good to see all of you again. It's been a number of weeks since we've been here, so we're very grateful to be here and see everyone. So last time in our series of how the Bible was put together, we covered the time period called the former prophets, which lasted from Joshua through the Judges and Samuel and some of the writings of the kings. And this also included the writings of King David and Solomon. So today we're going to cover the period of canonization that took place during the reign of Hezekiah and Josiah. And with Hezekiah was Isaiah. With Josiah was Jeremiah. So this is the title, Canonization Part 3, The Major Prophets. So after Israel split in two, the northern tribes eventually went into idolatry and they were exiled. So the purpose of the canon, the putting together the Bible, was more now to preserve and to protect the words of God from either being changed, corrupted, lost, or destroyed. So let's look, first of all, what happened during the time of Hezekiah. You might want to bookmark 2 Chronicles, as we'll be coming back and forth between 2 Chronicles and some of the other chapters. But we'll be starting in 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29. So Hezekiah became king in verse 1. When he was 25 years old, he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. You don't have too many mothers who are named of the kings. So Hezekiah's mother was named. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. We would say his great-great-grandfather, ancestor David. First year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square. And he said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord your God, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place." It had become like a place for garbage, and it had not been used. So in verse 30, we read, "Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, they bowed their heads and worshipped." So Hezekiah cleanses the temple, sanctifies the priests, restores the worship of God by using the Psalms. So somehow he had access to the words of King David and to the words of Asaph, which are found in the Psalms. Now last time we saw that in Proverbs 25, verse 1, is that Hezekiah's men copied some of the Proverbs of Solomon that weren't included in the Proverbs earlier, but they were included later from chapter 25 on from the words of Solomon. So where did these men copy these things from, some of those Proverbs? Well, possibly from material that is found here in, and notice these verses here, 2 Chronicles 9, verse 29. 2 Chronicles 9, verse 29. "Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet?" We don't have that book. "In the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite." We don't have that book in the Bible. "And in the visions of Iddo the seer concerning Jeroboam the son of Nebat." We don't have these books But could it have been that there were certain things in those books that God wanted inspired, and hence Hezekiah and the men were able to gather some material and put into Holy Scripture? It's possible. Let's look at 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11. And we see this verse in verse 41. 1 Kings 11, verse 41. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon and all he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? We don't have that book either. So one wonders, even in this book of the Acts of Solomon, could there have been many, many other proverbs, and these men of Hezekiah found them and copied them out? And of course, under the inspiration of God. We don't know, but it could be that's a possibility, that some of the material that we do find in the Bible could have come from these sources. Now, there's something else about Hezekiah. He knew Isaiah. Let's look at 2 Kings 20. 2 Kings 20. The famous chapter here, section of verses that talk about Hezekiah's sickness. 2 Kings 20, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near unto death, and Isaiah the prophet went to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, you will die and not live." And this verse to me is most telling. He, Hezekiah, turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, and I kind of think of, you get this news that you're going to die from a prophet of God. And so you shut out everything else, you turn your face to the wall, and you just, you and the wall and God. And you say to God, I pray, remember, I've walked before you in truth, loyal heart, I've done what's good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. You can just imagine that as he's looking at the wall and weeping and cutting everything else off, out. Just him and God, privately. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day you will go up to the house of the Lord. You will be healed." Verse 20. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, all of his might, and how he made a pool and a tunnel and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Now we have some of those chronicles with us, as we read from them earlier. But even the pool and the tunnel and the water, how he brought that in. It's a fascinating sight for those who've been in Jerusalem. They could see that tunnel. They could see that pool of what Hezekiah had done. So, Isaiah now does talk about Hezekiah in his book. So let's look at Isaiah. We see when he wrote his book, Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1, the vision of Isaiah, verse 1, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, what's fascinating is that you see the story of Hezekiah in Kings, and Isaiah is mentioned. In Isaiah, the book, you see the story of Hezekiah and some of the words of Hezekiah in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 38. Let's look at Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, beginning in verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick, near unto death. And Isaiah the prophet went into him. Same thing we read earlier. But now this is recorded in Isaiah. Verse 9. This is interesting. This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and recovered from his sickness. Now, it's recorded here. You don't find that back in Kings. Isaiah recorded the words of King Hezekiah in his book, and it goes from verse 10 all the way through verse 20. All the way through verse 20. Notice what verse 19 says. What Hezekiah wrote. This is in the book of Isaiah. The living man will praise you, as I do this day. The father will make known your truth to the children. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. So here are some of Hezekiah's words, but it's also a proclamation that the songs and the words of God would be available for the fathers to teach their children. And those words were and are found in the scriptures. Now, another thing that you will find in secular history and in a lot of Jewish writings of the past and in their histories is that the books of the Bible that were used in worship service from the time of Hezekiah had a seal of Hezekiah placed on them. The seal consisted of three Hebrew words. They were Kuf, Zayin, and Hai. And they're the same letters that begin with the word Hezekiah. H-E-Z. Those were the same Hebrew letters that began the word H-E-Z, Hezekiah. Now, so the following is from ask.com. And this particular website is the Associates of Scriptural Knowledge. And here's what it says about the H-E-Z. And I quote, "This trigrammaton, located at the end of 17 Old Testament books, served as a dual purpose. Not only did it indicate the person of Hezekiah, but its meaning, H-E-Z, is instructive. According to Brown, Driver, and Briggs' Hebrew Lexicon, H-E-Z means to bind firmly together, to be made firm, to be confirmed, to be bound fast." And it's interesting. You find that in the Hebrew histories, Jewish histories, of those books that had that stamp of Hezekiah. So during this time of Hezekiah and Isaiah, we find a number of these books are officially, which we have in the canon, in the Bible now, as recognized in Scripture. And notice also now, we'll go back to 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 22. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to the last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, wrote. So Isaiah added some of what we find in the Kings and even in his book. So Uzziah rested with his fathers and they buried him there after he had died. Notice chapter 32, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 32. "Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, are they not written in the vision of Amos, Isaiah the prophet, and in the kings of Judah and Israel?" So it shows that what Hezekiah said we've already seen in the book of Isaiah, but it appears that Isaiah was also involved in adding to the book of the Kings. Again, it's kind of fascinating when we sometimes read over these things. So we now come over to another time of canonization, again with a king and a prophet. 2 Kings 34, verse 1. "Josiah was 8 years old. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem." And we see at the end of verse 3 that he purged Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images and the carved images and the molded images. Let's look at verse 8. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azal, the son of his father, there, and the governor, and Joah, the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So anyway, he was sent to repair the house of God. He sent someone to do that. All right, now this is long after Hezekiah. So, where are we? Verse 14. Let's look at verse 14. So when they had brought out the money, brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. So it was there in the temple. And Hilkiah answered, said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, all that was committed to your servants, they are doing. They're in the process of doing this. Verse 18. Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. The king commanded Hilkiah, the son of Achaim, that's why I didn't include verse 20. It had a lot of these names in it. All right, so we end with verse 19. And then we have to assume he read some of the sections in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, about the blessings and the cursings. So Josiah inquired of God, and he went through a prophetess by the name of Huldah in verse 22. And notice what God said in verse 26. So we're kind of summarizing things here. As for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender and humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, you humbled yourself before me. You tore your clothes and wept before me. I've heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you to your fathers. You will be gathered to your grave in peace. In other words, you will be. It'll be a peaceful time when you are gathered to your grave. Your eyes will not see all the calamity that I bring upon this place. So that was a promise to Josiah. Now, 2 Chronicles 35, we see in verse 1 that Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord. And the priests, verse 2, were set and encouraged to do their duties in the house of the Lord. Verse 17. The children of Israel kept the Passover at that time in the days of unleavened bread. No Passover been kept since the days of Samuel the prophet. Now, sometime later, Josiah was killed in battle. He did not need to go to battle, but he did. And so in verse 23, while he was there in battle against the armies of Egypt, even the king of Egypt said, why are you coming against me? I don't have anything against you, but Josiah did. And the archer shot King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, take me away, I'm severely wounded. His servants therefore took him out of the chariot, put him in the second chariot. They brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and was buried in one of the tombs of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. So he did, and there was peace at the time Josiah was put into the grave. But notice verse 25. Jeremiah also lamented for Josiah. And to this day, the singing men and the singing women speak of Josiah in their lamentations. They made it a custom in Israel, and indeed they are written in the laments. Verse 27. Josiah's deeds, from first to last, are they not written in the book of the kings of Israel? So now you have someone else involved in writing in the Bible. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations after Josiah died. He knew that prophecies would come upon Judah because of what had been prophesied to Josiah. The book of Laments, the book actually laments the captivity that would come upon Judah. And it was all during that time that Jeremiah wrote his book. Let's look at Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1. And so another major prophet is writing now. Jeremiah 1. And we see the time he writes. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priests that were in Anath, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, Josiah, king of Judah's son, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So during that time, now you have Jeremiah writing his book and the book of Lamentations. We know that Judah eventually went into captivity, and we find that in the books of Ezekiel and Daniel, they too were brought into Babylon. They were in captivity. So what happened to the scriptures? Where were the scriptures that were preserved by Hezekiah and Isaiah and then Jeremiah? Where did they go? Well, let's look at Daniel 1. Daniel 1 and in verse 3. Daniel 1, verse 3. Daniel 1 and verse 3. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the king's nobles. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in wisdom, possessing knowledge, having and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And they did learn the literature of the Chaldeans while they were there in Babylon. Chapter 9. Notice what Daniel says in his prayer. This is after the Persians came in and destroyed Babylon. Daniel 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books. What books? The books. The number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. That prophecy is found in Jeremiah, that there would be 70 years. Interesting. Jeremiah the prophet. Now, I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication. So, the books, plural. It appears he had some of the scriptures with him. How many? We don't know. But there's another verse, verse 11 to 13, that indicates he had more than just the book of Jeremiah. Notice verse 11. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses. So he had that. The servant of God has been poured out on us because we've sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges. Where's that found? Judges, Joshua, who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster, for under the whole heaven such has never been done as what had been done in Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses. So you see, Jeremiah, the law, Judges, somehow the scriptures were preserved through the captivity, and Daniel had access to them. Now let's look at Ezekiel's prophecy, Ezekiel 14. Let's look at Ezekiel 14. And here he wrote during the time of the captivity, and he had understanding of Daniel. Ezekiel 14 and verse 12. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I'll stretch my hand against it. I'll cut off its supply and bread and send famine on it. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord. So God inspires these words to Ezekiel. It would have no meaning to Ezekiel unless Ezekiel knew that Daniel was righteous, that Noah was righteous, and that Job was righteous. How would he have known that if he had not had their stories? And I believe that Ezekiel, too, had access to the words of God. He had to have known of their stories for God to mention those names and Ezekiel writing it down. I believe he had to have some understanding of it. So it was during this time of the major prophets, we see that the book of Kings is added to. You see Chronicles is added to. You see Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel and Daniel are being written during this time. You also see a major number of the minor prophets being written during this time. So after Judah then comes out of Babylon and the Babylonian captivity, another very interesting time occurs when the Bible, the Old Testament, is being put together. And that's during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. So we'll see that next time when we cover the canonization in part 4.